podfic of a threefold binding by poetry. A leverage fic read by Caecilius in Horto as part of the Holly Polly 2021 gift exchange. A gift for Zvi. One of the best ways to con people is by telling the truth. Parker and Hardison will never be the grifters that Sophie wants them to be, but they do their best, given their limitations. Like when Hardison told Nate, "I bounced through 5 sets of foster parents until I ended up with Nana." Like how Parker doesn't talk about her childhood at all. 1. Hardison. "I hate humans," Parker said to Hardison when they got back from the orphanage job. "I should have brought those kids through a ring to the other side." It's the first time Parker has acknowledged what they are out loud. They'd both known, of course, seen the signs. Careful lies of omission, a wariness of iron. Hardison had tried to bring it up, sharing a hazy memory of the daughter of an Orisha and the Fairy Queen, born when the stories of European invaders did battle with the stories of West Africa hundreds of years ago. He thinks she might have been his mother, but she'd traded him away for a human child anyway. "I don't talk about that stuff," Parker had said, with an air of finality. "They'd have to send over just as many fairy kids to keep the balance," Hardison had said. "And you know that ain't fair. Besides, you don't hate humans." "Yes, I do," said Parker. "I blew up my foster parents." Hardison has met other changelings. They call the humans who raised them their parents. Hardison and Parker say foster parents, except when they talk about Nana. Sometimes the human children get the better end of the bargain. The door opened. Elliot said, "Parker, I need backup at the casino." Parker nodded and leapt out of her office chair. Hardison grinned at her. She flicked her ponytail at him as she turned and left. Two, Parker. "We have to tell him," Parker said while Elliot was in the kitchen plating the first course. She could smell something rich and savoury, like warm dark oil. "We don't have to tell him anything he won't even believe," Hardison said. "None of my siblings at Nana's house ever believed it, and I did all kinds of weird ass." "Sophie believes it," Parker said.
"She what?"
"I didn't mean to tell her, but she got all Sophie at me. First she gave me grifting lessons and she tried to make me lie and realised I couldn't," Parker said in a rush. "Then she realised you can't either. That's why she always introduces us with our fake names, so we don't have to say them. She didn't know why at first, but she kept guessing and finally she said we're fae. I told her it sounded silly, but she said, 'Tell me I'm wrong.' And I couldn't. But she hasn't snuck me iron or made me tell the truth about things I don't want to. So Elliot wouldn't. He wouldn't." Hardison said softly, "I never thought he would. That ain't our man." Elliot came in with bowls of steaming consommé, garnished with parsley. The look on his face, you'd have thought he knew he was serving a lost fairy prince and a daughter of the Unseelie. Hardison said, "That smells so good, you have no idea. I must have made some kind of good choices in my life to deserve this." "You wouldn't know a good choice if it smacked you upside the head," Elliot said. "Which is what I'm gonna do if you let this soup go cold." When their bowls were empty, his hospitality accepted, Parker said, "Elliot, you know we never lie to you, right?" "Technically, we don't lie to anyone," Hodgson said. "I don't know if you noticed." At Elliot's raised eyebrows, Hardison seemed to remember that he was talking to one of the most observant men in the mortal realms. "Right, yeah. Technically, we don't lie to anyone, but we really actually don't lie to you," Parker said. Elliot's mouth went soft, in that way that wasn't a smile, a face that Parker always knew she could trust when everything else seemed confusing and fake. "I know." "So we're going to tell you something weird, but you have to believe us," Parker said, "because we earned it." 100 times over, Elliot affirmed. Hardison and Parker exchanged a look. Hardison nodded. "Okay, so, it's like this. It's true we're both kids who got kicked around the foster care system. It's just that we didn't get given up by who you might think." 3. Elliot. They thundered through the fairy ring in their fine raiment, riding impossible steeds. The fairy queen rode a camel patterned black and white like a magpie, her head wrapped in indigo cloth and starlight. The Unseelie Raven Girl wore a trail of clouds and feathers, and her horse's breath steamed white, even on a summer day in Portland. Elliot wouldn't have known who they were if not for the children clinging to their waists, who would have been perfect miniatures of Parker and Hardison, if it hadn't been for their eyes, flat, without that dancing light he'd come to understand was from another world. Hardison jumped up from the picnic blanket. "Oh God, oh God, oh God, I knew the whole fresh air thing was a bad idea. Fresh air means woods, and woods means fairy rings, and fairy rings means 12 kinds of trouble. Where is the damn car?" Elliot reached up and clamped a hand on Hardison's hip. "Don't show fear." Parker was in a crouch, watching the fairies ride out from the tree line. Hardison said, "How do you know how to act around a fairy queen?" But he didn't flee. "I know rulers, warlords." Elliot looked up at him. "I knew Damien Moreau. He stole children too." The fairies stopped before the picnic blanket. The grass around them frosted over, and the light fell on them, silvery like moonlight instead of golden summer sun. "We've come to claim our children," the queen said. "What do you want us for?" Parker spat, still in her predator's crouch. "You didn't want us. You traded us away." "Legends of you have reached even the fairy realms, daughter," the Raven Girl said, the words misting in front of her mouth. It seems we made a bad trade. Fortunately, we can trade to get you back. She hoisted the stolen human child in her arms. The child stared, flat-eyed, as if she hadn't understood. No way am I going back there, Hardison said, looking nervously at the swirling blackness rising up from the fairy ring. I don't remember it all that well. It was a long time ago. But I'm totally sure you don't have Netflix. And that is just not acceptable. Elliot reached for Parker's hand, staring certainty into her fey-lit eyes. She took it. They stood, proud and defiant. You have no claim on them, Elliot said. I do. The Queen thundered. They are our blood, born in our realm. What claim could you possibly have? I welcomed them to my table, and they ate my food from the mortal realm, Elliot said. I claim Parker and Alec Hardison. The unseelie fae tasted the air with her tongue like a snake. You are no being of power. You are only a mortal man. I can taste death on you. Changeling children all eat food made by mortals. And they are not bound to this realm. Fear clutched cold at Elliot's heart, though he refused to show it. Parker and Hardison told him about fairy lore, and he knew his claim and abided by it. But he couldn't quite believe the fairies would follow the law instead of declaring themselves above it, as every other warlord Elliot had known would do. He kissed Parker on the mouth, tasting chocolate, a final goodbye if her mother stole her away. The way I understand it, if a human goes to the other side and accepts the hospitality of the Fae by eating their food, they're bound there forever. Changeling children aren't bound to this realm by our food, because if we welcome them as the humans they were traded for, we don't know who they really are, so it's no true hospitality. I gave them my hospitality, knowing full well who they were, and they accepted it. I claim Parker and Alec Hardison. You can only claim our children by their true names, the Fairy Queen said. Your claim by their false human names has no power. Fear dried Elliot's mouth and rooted him to the spot, but still he refused to show it. The children the fairies had stolen in trade for Parker and Hardison were changed from their time on the other side. And if the fairies traded them back, they might not survive here. Elliot kissed Hardison on the mouth, tasting candied fruit. A farewell for him if the Queen, his mother, stole him away. Hardison, Elliot said, still looking him in the eye. Tell the lady you're Miles Morales. You know I wish I could, Hardison said. I cosplayed as him at Comic-Con. I know your costume crap was all over the place. But I can't because I ain't him, and that'd be a lie. Elliot placed a hand to the back of his neck, drawing him down. Tell her you're Alec Harderson.
Harderson, Alec, swallowed hard. He turned slowly from Elliot's eyes to the Queen's fathomless ones.
My true name is Alec Harderson.
The Queen hissed.
From the Raven Girl's arms, the girl exchanged for Parker spoke, her voice high and piping, but precise.
If you claim them a third time, they will be bound forever to the mortal realm, and they will die as mortals.
Elliot's throat closed up. He'd promised he'd protect Parker and Alec until his dying day, but he couldn't ask them to die for him.
Alec took Elliot's hand and kissed him on the cheek.
I'd rather die with Elliot than live forever in crazy no-internet child-stealing land, Alec said. You'll want us back because we're legends. Elliot just wants someone to cook dinner for when he comes home.
His kiss glowed warm on Elliot's cheek like a beam of sunlight.
Parker took Elliot's hand and kissed him on the forehead.
I always knew I'd die here. That's what makes it so important to do the right thing.
Her kiss felt as heavy on his forehead as the impact of hitting the ground from height.
I claim Parker and Alec Harderson as my own.
Elliot glared at the fairies.
Now get the hell out of our city.